You're listening to the audio version of Victory Condition Gaming, sponsored by Forget Me Not Flowers and Gifts in Barrie, Vermont. You can check them out online at forgetmenotflowersbarrie.com. If you'd like to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, search for Victory Condition Gaming, and you can also follow me on Twitter at DougVCGaming. And if you'd like to watch us live every week, make sure to subscribe to Victory Condition Gaming on YouTube.
I love when RPGs take place in settings that I hadn't really even considered before. And I love it when RPGs also introduce different mechanics to fit their themes. And that's why I'm very excited to have Banana Chan and Brandon Ayton on from Game and a Curry Games and Wet Ink Games to talk about Zhengshu Blood in the Banquet Hall. Stick around. Brandon, Banana, thanks for coming on. I'm so excited to have you on. Let's talk about this Kickstarter that you've got coming up. I think it launches this Tuesday.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Banana, this is a project that you and others have been working on. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it? What's this Zhengshu Blood in the Banquet Hall all about?
Yeah, sure. So thanks for having us on. My name is Banana Chan, and I am the co-designer and co-publisher of Zhengshu Blood in the Banquet Hall. It was co-designed by myself and Senfun Lim, and we were working on this sometime around 2018, and now we're finally working with like a bunch of other people, Brandon, Wet Ink Games, and a whole lot of other like artists and writers, collaborating on this project. The game itself is about a Chinese-American immigrant family that's running a restaurant in the 1920s in Chinatown. In daytime, they're faced with oppression and, racism and stress from, like, running the restaurant itself. And then at night, they're faced with Zhengshu, hopping vampires. So these hopping vampires come out and attack everyone, and you have to make sure that your customers are safe, you're safe, and that your restaurant is safe.
I love this so much. I wouldn't have even thought of this as an RPG, but I love it as soon as I saw it. The art looks amazing. And I love how this is going to be like a boxed RPG set so it kind of has like almost like a board game kind of feel to it as well. Was that something that you kind of went into with the ideas as like I don't know how I'm always fascinated with the game design and everything. Like, how did you come across this type of design for this game?
Yeah, so I actually don't remember if initially when Sen and I came to Brandon, I don't know if we told you that it was going to have board game elements to start with, or if it was just like the pen and paper initial thing that we had.
Oh no, that was definitely an element that intrigued me when you all were talking about it, because we were actually chatting about my love of board games and RPGs and things like that. But as a very tactile person, that just stood out to me. And I think we're also entering into a period in game design and in RPGs where you're going to see more of that crossover between board games and RPGs.
I totally agree.
Just look at like Gloomhaven, for example. That's obviously a board game, but it appeals to so many tabletop RPG players. So you're going to see more of that crossover in more creative ways than more direct ways that you see in an example like Gloomhaven. So
sure, yeah, absolutely,
for sure. So like when we first started working on this thing, it was just like a pen and paper RPG. We tried using moon blocks, which I have a pair of. I should have brought them over, but they're not here. But moon blocks are basically this divination tool that you use to determine whether the gods are happy or not with you. And we tried using those, and they didn't work so well for this game. So we decided to use dice. Okay. So we use a bunch of D8s in this game. And as we were progressing with the design, Sen and I, and I think like Sen was more like, oh, what if we had these cards? What if we had a board? And I was like, sure, let's do it. And then we'll like play around with it, see what happens. And, Sen, of course, because he does a lot of board game stuff, and I do board game publishing, but it's like very different. We went back and forth on the design and eventually came up with what you see now.
Do we want to talk about what's included in the box set? And then we can kind of just talk about what, how each thing works, because there's a lot that's included in this box. You've got, you know, a couple books, you've got cards, you've got like a player mat. Do you want to just kind of go over how, like what a player, maybe let's just go over like what a player has in front of them and how it works as they're playing along. Let's do that for a little bit.
Do you want to describe everything, Brandon?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things, you're right, Doug, there's a lot of stuff in here, which is why like having a box set, you know, that traditional like D&D box set feel, it's everything that you need to play this game. So the core rule book, which is going to be about 200 pages, and a scenario book, which is going to be about 100 pages, give or take. And these books are going to be, they're going to be printed with a color interior and a mixture of black and white and color art.
Okay.
There are also elements that we have like restaurant cards, which are used by your characters in doing their daily tasks. I'll let Banana talk about that. The Hmong cards, which are kind of like your dreams and nightmares that your characters have. And then our Zhangshe cards, which are like how the Zhangshe affect the characters throughout the game. We also include an X card as a safety mechanism, which I feel like every game design, RPGs design should have safety elements incorporated into it. The character sheets that we have, the players are going to have them in front of them. They have everything from like your hopes and your dreams and your aspirations, how well you can speak both English and well as your native language, various skills that you have, things like that. We have dice included in there. So we have 13 different dice right now, and hopefully we'll be able to get to a point in the Kickstarter where we might actually customize those to make them even more thematic than they already are.
Okay.
And we do have a board, which represents the restaurant. And my favorite element is the pad of spirit papers. And I'm going to let Banana talk about that a lot more, but just from a character perspective, it just represents family unity. And I love that element of the game. I believe that's all that we have included in the box itself, but I'd also be remiss if we didn't point out the amazing box cover art that was done by Quadra Moria, which is probably my favorite piece he's ever done. And it not only stands out, but it gives everyone who even like picks up a box and looks at it just an immediate feel for exactly what this game is going to be.
Awesome. Yeah, it was striking when Banana, you know, we're friends and you posted that. I was just like, wow, this cover is really, really, really outstanding. It was just a great, great piece of art. And I was just really excited. I was excited because you've been discussing it, you know, on social media for a while. But then once you posted that cover, I was like, wow, that just knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, so. It's fantastic. I absolutely love it.
Tell us a little bit about how some of the mechanics work, what a typical, you know, session would play out like.
Yeah, sure. So a game usually takes about 5 in-game days. As the players go on, they roll from a pool of dice, and it's a pool of 68s. And as the days go by, you're taking more and more dice out of your pool. So it makes it harder for you to roll properly, right? So,
sure.
You know, the success rate goes down because you're so stressed out. The dice mechanic works in a way where when you roll all of your dice, any fours, because fours are bad luck in Chinese culture, they cancel out the highest numbers. So
okay.
8 is good luck. In numerology, but fours are bad. And whatever you end up with is basically your outcome. So that's one thing. That's one portion of the mechanics.
Sure.
The other portions of the mechanics includes the restaurant board itself. So the restaurant board basically illustrates the day cycles and the day phases and the night phases. So you have your morning, your afternoon, your evening, and your dead of night. So during the morning, you have all these chores that you have to do. before the restaurant opens up for service. So from the restaurant deck of cards, each player receives two cards, and they have to, you know, delegate these tasks, figure out if they have the energy to do them based on their character sheet, and they role play out whatever whatever task they want to role play out of the two cards. After that, goes into you go into the afternoon scene, and in the afternoon afternoon phase, service starts. So customers start piling in, and you have to make sure that they're happy. They're like, you know, all taken care of. In the evening, the junctions start coming out, but you still have your customers. So you have to make sure that, you know, everyone is safe. Everyone is, you know, being served. And then at the dead of night, that is when the junction is still out, but your customers have gone home. You've closed your restaurant, and you have to make sure that you're safe. So that's all illustrated on the board itself, the restaurant board itself. You'll also notice that there are different slots for cards. Mm-hmm. So if you can't complete a restaurant task, you would place the card over a slot, and that would cover up a special ability on the restaurant board or something about the restaurant.
Oh, so, okay.
As you cover up all the slots, once you've covered up all eight, the game ends because your restaurant has fallen into decay. So that's one way of ending the game. The second way is by going through all 5 days or, you know, all 2 or 3 days, dependent on the scenario that you choose. Related to that, we also have the character sheets. The character sheets themselves have, you know, items, facets, skills that the character has, hopes and dreams, you know, a bit of stuff about their language skills. And they're all also allocated into these slots. So as the players progress, they might take on physical damage or stress. And as they do, they take on Jiangshu cards. So the Jiangshu cards, they start off on the white facing side, which are the loss of self side. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. When you've covered that over a skill or a facet or an item that you have, that thing no longer can be used until you're healed.
Which I think that's incredibly thematic, because that's what Jiangshu, like, they feed off of people's essences, and that's, they're basically taking away your abilities, which I thought was just really, really clever.
Exactly. And also, you know, once all eight slots are filled, you become a Jiangshu yourself. So no one dies in the game, but you can become Jiangshu, and you can also get healed into becoming, you know, your human self again.
Now, there's also a mechanic called Hmong cards. Is that remember? Yes. I remember seeing. You've sent the preview link of the Kickstarter over, and I've taken a look at it. So you want to tell us a little bit about those cards as well?
Yeah. So the Hmong cards are actually the word Hmong. Hmong, it translates to dream. So these cards, they're optional for play, but if you do want to play with them, it makes the game a little bit harder and a little bit more fun. They're all just pieces of artwork that you interpret yourself. So before service starts on the second day onwards, during the morning, you know, you've woken up from maybe a restless night of sleep, and you have all these memories of your nightmares that you had. And depending on how well you roll 1d4. Depending on how well you roll, you receive these cards. So say you rolled like, you know, a 3 on the 1d4, you would receive 3 Hmong cards, and they would cover up the first 4 slots of your character sheet. So, only the first 4 slots are impacted. The rest of them don't get impacted. But, you know, as you're taking more damage, things get harder. It gets harder for you to complete chores and tasks and, you know, things like that. And each of the cards themselves are like Dixit cards or like Mysterium cards, where you interpret the artwork yourself. And that's, you know, what you interpret as your nightmare.
Oh, I love it.
Absolutely terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Are they really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they are.
They're great. we were actually just talking about like which ones we should put on the page for examples. We're like, that one might be a stretch. Let's we'll hold that one back.
I love it. Is it the same artist that did the cover that did the cards as well, or do you have various artists that are working on this?
We have many artists.
Okay.
I could go through like all the artists that we have.
I mean, if you have the names and you have them, because it's always nice to recognize those folks, because I think artists in the RPG industry are kind of under undervalued yeah. and underrated just because, you know, it's usually all about the designers and you guys are great. I'm not trying to say that you're not, but you know, art does does do has a big impact on projects too. So
yeah, absolutely. So for the cover art, like we said, we had Quan Chai Moria do the cover, the graphic design for the logo and everything that's inside the book. That's by Matthias Bonici. And we have two pieces for the adventures that are already up on the Kickstarter by Noel Tien Nguyen Tay, who's based out of France. And for more of that like adventure scenario artwork, we have Joanne St. Laurent doing doing something that accompanies a Haitian American scenario. We also have Stephen Wu doing all the black and white artwork that you know, some of which you might see on the Kickstarter itself. And the Hmong cards themselves are designed by, are illustrated by Sadia Bees, Robert Richburg, and Jabari Weathers. And Jabari is also doing a scenario for us later on when we complete some stretch goals.
Sure.
And finally, we also have a map that Amanda Call's working on.
Oh, so, yeah. people might know her from the show a little bit.
Yeah, so she's doing a little map for us.
Oh, nice. That's very cool. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. And speaking of stretch goals, I know that there's another person. I see one of the first stretch goals is a scenario written by a face that comes on quite a bit, Miss Morgan Nuncio, that she's one of the first couple stretch goals. So that's really nice to see Morgan on there working on this project, or possibly working on this project. I don't want to say she's, but
fingers crossed, right?
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely. So very cool. Do you have? Can you spoil a little bit of who else you have lined up for you know, more content for this game and stretch goals?
Do you want to go ahead, Brandon?
Yeah,
I don't want to push it. I don't want to push it, but you know, sometimes I like to dig for information if you guys are willing to give it to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So for you know, Morgan, we also have Jabari Weathers as an artist, but also they are going to be potentially working on some scenarios. Mabel Harper and Jian Shim, and a relative newcomer as well, Vladimir Bradovich, who does a lot of stuff in the LARP communities, we've actually got to know him through some of the work that we've done with Never Going Home.
Oh, so, nice.
Did I miss anyone, Banana? I'm sorry, I may have.
No, that's all right.
Oh, Kiana Shaw.
Kiana Shaw, yeah.
Kiana's done, they worked on a Chinatown. So each Chinatown that we have in the base book itself has different writers. So we have Kiana working on New York. Ross Chern was working on, let me just double check to make sure that I get this right. I think he was working on, yeah. So Ross Chern was working on San Francisco and Los Angeles. Kiana did New York. Daniel Kwan from Asians Represent did Vancouver and Toronto.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's, we have awesome. A lot of writers.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love how, you know, you're just bringing everybody in and it just kind of shows how much, you know, Banana and Brandon, how much folks like enjoy working with you folks, which is awesome. Let's talk a little bit about the pledge levels before we sign off and let's talk a little bit about what folks would be getting if they want to back this project. Brandon, do you want to talk a little bit about the different levels a little bit?
Absolutely. So we do have a PDF pledge level, which will allow people to have their own print and play version of this game, and is going to have the print and play versions of the cards and any cards that we unlock through any potential stretch goals. The physical entry point buy-in is the Junksha box set, and that's also going to have access to any of the physical stretch goals that we have to incorporate further into the box and additional component upgrades or additional components which will be included, as well as any of the digital stretch goals. So maybe any additional scenarios that we can also release as PDFs, they'll also have all of that. We have a deluxe version that's also going to include a printed cloth board as opposed to the game board.
I love that.
Yeah, a lot of people had asked about something like that, so we're going to be able to produce that cloth that cloth board.
No Lazy Susan, though.
No Lazy Susan. And then the that's also going to include a set of frameable signed art prints, high quality art prints by that's going to have a lot of the art by Stephen Wu. So we're going to have that. And there's a retail pledge, but also there's a pledge where it includes all of the stuff from the deluxe pledge, but you'll also be able to play with Banana or Sen and actually walked through one of the scenarios by the designers who have held this game so close to their heart for so long. And that's just as an experience, as a gameplay experience. I can't imagine a better way to play this game. We also have an add-on. We had so many people who just absolutely fell in love with the cover of that Quan Chai did, we were talking about earlier, that we are making a 20-inch by 30-inch, like a movie poster size version of this and having them signed by Quan Chai. And it's going to look absolutely stunning. I mean, if you think it looks stunning on your computer screen, imagine having that framed and hanging on your wall. So.
Sure. Yeah, that would be amazing. The retailer pledge, I know I have a lot of retailers that do watch the show. The retailer pledge, is that for how many copies are they getting with that pledge?
So the retailer pledge itself for actual distribution or for sale, it's going to have 7 of the deluxe versions. So each one of your customers that's going to walk into the store is going to be able to also have that cloth mat and the additional art, which is something that they're not necessarily going to be able to get through distribution once it's at retail. Sure. So that gives that to the retailers, and it's going to have a deluxe copy for the store themselves, which is not actually going to be included in the cost. That's a free copy for the retailers as a thank you for supporting us at this level and just believing in this product enough to get it out there and spread the word.
Very nice. That's a nice gesture for both your companies. Now, I don't even think I talked about this. How did Wet Ink Games and Game and a Curry kind of collaborate on this project? We totally bypassed that entirely, you know.
So I know at Gen Con last year when we had worked with Sen for Never Going Home, and I'd put out a message to some of the people that we had worked with that Wet Ink would be open to hearing pitches or having conversations with designers about games that, you know, they'd like to maybe either collaborate on or wouldn't like us to publish. And I had actually set up times to speak with both Sen Fung and Banana separately. And when they both spoke so passionately about a game, about the Chinese immigrant experience, as a son of an immigrant myself, I was just floored by not only their presentation, but the passion in which they spoke about this project, and leapt at the opportunity to even be considered for this, because, you know, I didn't know if they, you know, had been, you know, shopping it around or whatever, but I was like, if you all want to work together, I would love to, I would gladly do so. And Banana, you can speak maybe a little bit more to your side, but it was just it's been an absolute joy to work with the design team and the developers this every step of the way.
Yeah, seriously. Like, it's been amazing just like working with Wet Ink Games, and collaborating and going back and forth on ideas on, you know, how to make this Kickstarter happen, how to make, you know, this game happen. And initially, so Sen and I, after we had designed this thing, we were talking to a bunch of different people at Breakout Con a while back, you know, in terms of like, what should we do with this? We have this product, we have this ready, like, should we self-publish? Should we send it out to a publisher? Like, what should we do? And Daniel Kwan actually approached us, and he was talking to us about, you know, maybe we should think about self-publishing and, you know, think about, you know, having that that integrity in there, because like that way you can, you know, keep your voice in this game, make sure that, you know, everything carries over, so that if you do, you know, if you self-publishing versus like shopping it out to another publisher, like you might lose all of that stuff. You might lose, you know, some parts of the game that you didn't intentionally want to get rid of. So maybe self-publishing would have been like the best option. And I was thinking about it, Sen and I were talking about it, and we were thinking, okay, well, that's a possibility, but, you know, it would be good to have like another publisher work with us. Mm-hmm. And so we were, you know, going through like all of our options, and Wet Ink Games was like the top of our list, because we were thinking, okay, like they have a lot of experience publishing, you know, tabletop RPGs, like Game and a Curry, we've done board games. And I have, you know, a lot of experience like writing games, but role-playing games, but I don't have a lot of experience like publishing role-playing games. Sure. So that's when, you know, we talked about it. We decided, hey, why don't we just like partner up with Wet Ink Games, because they're, you know, they have all everything, you know, they have all the experience, they know what they're doing. And it seems like it would be the best option. That's how we started working.
Awesome. No, that's great. I love it. And I love it when, you know, I've known Brandon, and I've known you, you've been around for a while. So I was really, really happy to see you guys collaborate and, you know, come together and put this product on, or project on Kickstarter. So I'm just excited for you. I think it's going to be a huge success for you. I'm going to tell folks, if you are interested in this in anything that we've talked about, go check out the Kickstarter. It's going to be in the link in the description of this video. Please hit the like button. Please hit the subscribe button. But let me know in the comments if you backed it and what you're excited about, and that you're excited about this project, because I think this definitely needs a lot of notice. And I hope more and more people are talking about it once the Kickstarter goes live, and it's just hopefully smashing Kickstarter stretch goal after stretch goal shortly after launch. So
that's the dream.
if folks want to know more about you both, where should they go? Banana, where should folks go to find more about Banana Chan and Game and a Curry Games?
Yeah, so you can find me at Banana Chan Games on Twitter. You can also find my company, Game and a Curry, at Game and a Curry on Twitter or Facebook.
You can find Wet Ink Games on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can find me also on Facebook and Twitter as well. But the I'm a lot more active on the Wet Ink side from the Twitter perspective there. But yeah, you can find all of our products and stuff on DriveThruRPG, and there you go.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this session. Be safe, be well, and remember, winning shouldn't be the only victory condition when you get to the table. We'll see you next time. Bye now.